Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians in chapter 5. Look at verse 23. He says up in verse 14, awake. And then he says in verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. Let's all stand together. Everybody standing. I'll read just a few more verses. I circled it for this morning's sake. Christ is the head of the church. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I circled those words. Christ loved the church. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I circled the words, present it to himself, a glorious church. That day's coming when we'll be perfected. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And I circled the words, nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And then verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And I've circled the words, great mystery. Verse 23, Christ is the head of the church. We know what the book of Colossians says about that. Church is known by any man. Verse 25, Christ also loved the church. We're loved people. Amen. Verse 27, he'll present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and it'll be without blemish. That day is coming. Verse 29, he nourishes and cherishes the church. And you know something? It is a great mystery. Not that there's not a whodunit kind of mystery going on in the church. That's not it. You know what's a mystery? That God would love me. That God would use me. That's a mystery. Because standing before you this morning is a wretched man. A sinner that is just simply saved by grace. And the same is true for you if you're born again. And that God would allow us to be adopted into the family of God. Book of Hebrews, you were in Sunday school this morning, chapter 12, the church of the firstborn, our names written in heaven. Man, what a glory, that's a mystery. Why would he do it? Why would he love us? Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, and God, I pray that you'd be all over this platform this morning. God, you'd hide the preacher behind the cross. I pray that I wouldn't say something here this morning that even the youngest person in Christ that they would misconstrue. I want to be crystal clear. And for that to happen, the Holy Spirit needs to drive these truths home. God, I pray that you'd work in our midst. Fundamental Baptist Church isn't all it's supposed to be. God in heaven, we recognize there are souls to reach. There is a harvest to be harvested all around us. And dear God, I pray that you would help us not to get to the place where we're ingrown and we think, well, we've reached as many as we can reach. Oh God, raise up people with vision this morning. I pray there wouldn't be a child of God here this morning that thinks, well, I know everything right now and I've come as far as I can come. Oh God, deliver us from that prideful, arrogant attitude where we think we don't need you and we don't need to obey you. God, I pray your Holy Spirit would take the hardest heart, the coldest heart, the youngest and the oldest, and you draw them to Calvary this morning. And God, we pray for great victories. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Quickly, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 16 and 18. I'm not sure I'm going to actually read that this morning, but I'm thinking I will. What I want to do this morning is just hit some facts. I've simply got five facts I want to share with you. They're not new. They're powerful, they're foundational, they're true, and we need to be reminded of it. We're trying to reach this area for Christ. So we got this 600-seat auditorium right now, and it's inevitable. Sometimes during the winter, you got some bad weather and so on and so forth. And this isn't a bad crowd this morning. As a matter of fact, it started out bad, but it's not as bad now. And I just thank you for coming out and being youpers and not being afraid of the snow. And God bless you for that. And God brought you here by design this morning. And there's something I want you to understand. This, number one, is simply this. The Church of Jesus Christ is planned by God. And I know you're aware of that. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Church of Jesus Christ, it's simply put, it is God's idea. And there's some hallmarks, there's some identifying characteristics of every New Testament church. And let me say this right from the get-go. It's not a denomination. You will not find a denomination anywhere in the 66 books that make up the Holy Word of God. Jesus didn't come to build a denomination. There isn't a denomination or a hierarchy anywhere on this earth that has a corner on the truth. You read your New Testament, and you're going to read of New Testament local churches, just like we are. I made a list of them long ago. I got a partial list right here. And these are just churches that these letters were written to in the, to make up the New Testament, and churches that are encouraged and admonished. These were New Testament local churches. I'll tell you what they were in a moment. The Church of Jerusalem, the Church at Antioch, Iconium, the Church at Rome, the Church at Lystria, the Church of Colossae, the Church of Philippi, the Church at Ephesus, the Church of Galatia, the Church at Macedonia, the Church at Corinth, the Church at Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, Berea, Iconium, Derbe, and that's not a complete list. They were not a denomination. It wasn't one church lording over another church. These were New Testament local churches. Here's some identifying marks of a New Testament local church. Because a lot of people think, well, I just got church at home. Wrong. You're wrong. Did some of the first century church meet in homes? Yes, until they got buildings. Some of them met in synagogues, even before they had their own building. Some of them met in the marketplace, but they still were churches. They had two offices, pastor and deacon. I can prove that to you from the Word of God. You won't find any other office in the New Testament if they don't exist. There were pastors and there were deacons. And really clearly put, I mean, as simplified as possible, there were pastors, there were men that God had chosen and ordained to lead flocks. And then there were deacons, and really they were unpaid part-time assistant pastors. Their job was to help the pastor. Now we have pastors, sometimes we have assistant pastors, and they're full-time assistant pastors. But there's only two offices anywhere in the Word of God. You say, oh, my denomination, forget, hang your denomination in the closet, all right? There were pastors and there were deacons. Two ordinances, the Lord's table and baptism. In the New Testament, when someone got born again, I can prove it to you from the Word of God. Don't have time this morning. Somebody gets born again, they get saved, they follow the Lord in the waters of baptism, death, burial, and resurrection. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised again to walk in newness of life. A picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus had baptized converts so they will identify with me and they'll be members of those New Testament local churches. And then the Lord's table. You meet and you break bread and you drink the fruit of the vine, but you do this in remembrance of me, the broken body, the broken bread, the broken body of Christ, the fruit of the vine, the blood atonement, the blood that was shed for us in remembrance. He said it's just a picture. Baptism's not salvation. It's just a picture of what happened on the inside. The Lord's table is not salvation. It's just a picture of what happened on the inside. Two offices, pastor and deacon, two ordinances, the Lord's table and baptism. After that, one message, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have one Bible, and it's strong. And in the English-speaking world, we have been given from the Textus Receptus, from the received text, we have been given the King James Bible, which is written in High English. It's a legal in English. It's an exact English, better than any of our slang that we use in America today. You say, well, I don't always understand all of it. That's why it says study to show thyself approved unto God. I don't want a weak imitation of the real deal. So we're a King James people, and God has always blessed King James people. All right. So we've got two offices, pastor, deacon. We've got two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's table. One message, one Bible. We got one mission. It's called the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So the New Testament local church We're to be after people telling them about Jesus. It's really that simple. We're to reflect Christ. We're to grow in grace. We come together, hear good preaching. We have prayer meeting where we support one another in prayer, and the ministry's in prayer, and it kind of stokes the revival fires. We pray for people that are outside our area, and we go out and we do our very best to fulfill the Great Commission. We do it by handing out gospel tracts. We do it by witnessing to people on lunch break. We do it by talking to our loved ones, going to the ball game, or reflecting Jesus. We do anything and everything we can for the glory of God. I'll pause real quick here. Yesterday, our young ladies and our young men played in a basketball tournament yesterday for the young men over in the other end of the peninsula. And I want to tell you, in a hostile environment, they raised high the colors of Christ. Man, it was real. They prayed before the game. They huddled. Everybody knows what they're doing. The other team plays music to try to just bait us, and it was hostile all the way. We won in overtime, 104-94, beat an undefeated team. It was amazing. It really was amazing. That's not the first time we've encountered that. We encountered that from time to time because there are some people that don't like New Testament Christianity, and they bait us. But we stand tall for God, and God is able to bless. The church is planned by God. We need to strike a blow. We need to plant the flag. We need to do our part, Fundamental Baptist Church, in reaching this area for Christ. Do not lose vision. We've got the springtime in front of us. I want to shock the world. We've got this summer in front of us. We are going into the highways and byways this summer. We hit the towns last year. This summer, we're going into the highways and byways, and we're going door to door, and we're going to tell people about Jesus. And God is going to bless. God blessed us last year. Man, we covered Rudyard, we covered Kinross, we covered Pickford, and that was really not all that difficult. We did it in quick fashion, and we gained families. And not necessarily families that we visited, but man, we have had a wonderful fall. And we're baptizing again tonight. Whole families. God is good. God is honoring his word. We need to understand that the church is planned by Jesus. Go to Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Acts in chapter 20 and verse 28. The church is purchased by God. It is called the Church of Jesus Christ. That's Bible. That's what the Bible calls it. It tells us in Acts in chapter 20 and verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to feed all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Fundamental Baptist Church belongs to God. It is not Tim Rader's church. It is not Bill Lockhart's or Josh Rader's church. It belongs to God. And we are doing our very best to follow our Lord. Now, I'm going to explain something that's going to happen here in the near future because we got to vote on it. I I've had so many people come up to me and say, "Pastor, is something wrong?" One man actually said, he's here this morning, "You don't have cancer or anything, do you?" I said, "I hope not. I don't know." So here's what we're going to do. The deacons, the pastoral staff, we are confident. We have the mind of Christ in this, but we still have to vote on it, right? And what we're going to do is we're going to, Lord willing, name Pastor Josh co-pastor. You say, what is he taking over? Not in your life. And I told him, and when we do this, I'm still the boss. But we said, "What are you doing, preacher?" "I am taking the advice of wise men that have gone before me. I have had men come up to me out of the blue." I'm talking about other pastors and mention this to me because so many churches have floundered. Go 2 years without a preacher and then change directions. It happens again and again. And I don't know if you know this or not, but there aren't a lot of good preachers out there available right now. So what we're going to do is, Lord willing, we'll name him co-pastor. Got a vote on it. We'll name him co-pastor. And if it was a relay, it'd be like the exchange lane. I'm hoping I get 10 more years, just so you know. But there'll be a transition, and I'll just let him do a little bit more as we go along. But as long as I'm in my right mind, and as long as I've got strength in my heart, man, I'm going to be preaching and preaching and preaching. But at the same time, we want to set up the next generation. So we got a man that knows what he believes. He is what we are. He is called of God. You think, well, Pastor Bill should be next one up in line. Pastor Bill will echo this. He'll amen this. He'll tell you right to your face, "I'm not the guy." We believe we have the mind of Christ in this. And I'm going to keep on pastoring until the trumpet sounds right here in this pulpit. So that's my idea. But I could have a stroke tomorrow, right? So we prepare the next generation. Fundamental Baptist Church has got to stay strong. There's got to be a city on the hilltop that doesn't dip the colors. Planned by God, purchased by God. We go to Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. We won't do that. Ephesians 5, Matthew and chapter 16. We won't do that. How about powered by God? I already quoted this verse. I'll be able to get through this point very, very quickly. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the earth. There is nothing more common than unsuccessful men with talent, except it be powerless churches with all kinds of wherewithal. It's everywhere. It's the Laodicean church. It's the people-ruled church where they've got all kinds of riches and all kinds of wherewithal and all kinds of money, and they don't have the power of God. The church of Jesus Christ is powered by God. I want to turn to it. Don't do it right yet. I'm going to come to this closing passage in just a moment. You might want to jump over there early, but don't do it. We're going to end up in the book of Isaiah here this morning. The church of Jesus Christ is powered by God. The gospel is not static. When you preach the word of God, things happen. Lives get changed. Families are strengthened. People who are not sure they're going to heaven, people who are not born again, they hear the gospel. The Holy Spirit grips their hearts and he is preaching truth, and they get born again. They get saved. That is a wonderful thing. The church, the Holy Spirit is rocket fuel for the New Testament local church. And the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has already come, and all he needs is more of us. You don't get more of the Holy Spirit. When you got born again, you were baptized by the Holy Spirit and infilled by the Holy Spirit and indwelt by the Holy Spirit. You got the fingerprint of God on your hand. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit. You belong to him. But now how much of you does the Holy Spirit have? That's the big question. And that's why he says earlier, and I just alluded to it in Ephesians chapter 5, awake. And then he says, be filled with the Spirit of God. Man, get intoxicated with God, the Holy Spirit, where he controls you. And then he will empower, he powers his church. You know, people getting saved in church services? I say this to the shame of the New Testament local church. That's unusual today. It ought to be normal. But it's not. There are churches that go months without seeing people get born again. And I'm thinking, man, they can't be sharing the truth. If they are sharing the truth, man, they don't have the power of God. Something's wrong and something's missing. But I submit to you that the New Testament local church is powered by God, and a Holy Spirit-powered church, it's unstoppable. It's like trying to stop the tide. You can't do it. You might cause somebody to stumble over here or over there or back there, but man, the tide's rolling on, man. You ever wonder what Alabama's all about, roll tide? That's what that is, right? You can't stop it. That's the New Testament local church. The New Testament local church will one day be perfected by God. The scripture tells us in Ephesians 5, I already read that, he's going to present it to himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Man, he was writing that to the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus had problems, but he's saying one day we're going to be perfected. Go to 1 John chapter 3, 1 John and chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3. Verse 2, beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The day is coming, we'll be perfected. Man, I won't recognize myself. I won't. Man, that the old nature will have been totally eradicated. I'll be standing in the presence of God with the righteousness of Christ all over me. That's why I'm going to heaven, because of the righteousness of Christ. That's why I'm seated in heavenly places right now, because of the righteousness of Christ. That's why I can keep going on and get up after I fail God and get up again, because of the righteousness of Christ, His mercy and His grace. It's all over me. I told you one day we're going to stand before God. I don't know if we'll word it this way, but we're going to look at one another during some worship. We're going to say, man, we're really here. Man, we really made it. All of those songs that we used to sing in church about one day getting to heaven and our faith, you know, turning to sight. We are here. We're here. We're here. And it's forever. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews 12, Hebrews chapter 12. It's actually just back a few pages. Hebrews in chapter 12. The church is going to be perfected by God. We'll have that glorified body. There isn't a perfect church, by the way, here on earth. And now let me talk to any of some live streamers that might be tuning in. And if you're sitting at home thinking there's no church in the world good enough for your family, you better take a closer look at your family, because your family's not perfect either. There is no perfect church here on this earth. What you need to do is unite with a Bible preaching, Bible practicing church, and get involved in the work of the Great Commission, and get involved in the harvest, and raise your children and your family, and bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. God has ordained the family, but God has ordained the New Testament church. It isn't one without the other. It's not an either or premise. Don't go there. You're here for other people as well. You're here to minister to other people as well. It tells us in Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 23, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, will be perfected by God. Go to Isaiah chapter 54. It'll be the last text we look at this morning. Isaiah and chapter 54. The church is protected by God. I love this. Now, there's a lot of metaphors to describe the New Testament church in the New Testament. I can think of three right off the top of my head. There's the body of Christ. There's the building of Christ, the body of Christ, like 1 Corinthians 12. There's the building of Christ, like 1 Corinthians and like 1 Peter. And then, of course, there's the bride of Christ, like we read of in the book of Ephesians. And they're just metaphors. All they are is metaphors. This building is not the church of Jesus Christ. This building isn't even what the Bible describes as a sanctuary. This building is the church house. It's where the church meets on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. The church, we gather, the church is people. It's ecclesia 114 times in the New Testament. It means called out assembly. By the way, the word synagogue for the Jews meant assembly. Then Jesus came, the Messiah, the promised one, fulfilled all of the law, went to the cross and paid for our sin and rose again from the dead. So the Messiah, the promised one, he has come, he's made a way, and he's birthed the church of Jesus Christ. And now we're ecclesia. We're not only assembly, we're a called out assembly. We're to be distinct from the world. Amen. We're to be different from the world. We're to be separatists from the world. That's not holier than thou and don't touch me. That's not what the word separatist means. That means reflecting Jesus. Just different. Sticking out like a sore thumb. That must be a born again Christian. Look at the life they live. Now, we're called out assembly. I said this last Sunday morning. We're like that outpost on the frontier. Here we are, Fundamental Baptist Church in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We're like that soul-saving station on the edge of darkness. We carry the light. We bear the torch. We raise and carry the colors. And we do our best to not let the colors hit the ground. Man, there's... And we're protected by God. Now, the text we're going to read, I know it's about Israel. I'm a Bible preacher. I'm a Bible teacher. I know this promise is for Israel. I know that. And by extension, It is for the church of Jesus Christ. It says here in verse 17, no weapon of chapter 54 of Isaiah, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. And I love verse 1 of chapter 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. There is an invitation to everyone. The heart of God is so big. He'll never condone sin. He never puts up with unrighteousness. But if we'll come to him, if you will come to him, anybody, anywhere, understanding that you're a wicked sinner and you're going to hell without the Savior Jesus Christ, and if you'll repent of your sin, and you just simply come to the Savior, he'll forgive you. He says, oh, everyone that thirsteth, come. Come. Man, I'll meet your need. Turn the page, Isaiah 55. You might want to turn the page. I don't know if you turn the page in your Bible, but I do in mine. And look at verse 8. We're empowered by God. I have another point. I'm not going to preach it. I'm going to end with this simple thought here this morning, and maybe because I'm ending with it, you'll hang on to it. If you remember the book of Joshua in chapter 1, Joshua was told, you don't turn to the right, and you don't turn to the left. You obey the word of God, and I will prosper you. That's why we're a Bible people. That's why we're biblicists. I don't know all of the Bible, but I've been pastoring here for 44 years. I've got Bachelor of Arts, Master's, Doctor degree. I'm telling you, the Word of God is crystal clear. Man, it is. It is clear. If we leave the book, we're going to flounder. We're going to get in high seas, and we're going to get off course. And when men get that way, they grasp at straws. And they end up leaving and not having the blessing of God. It says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Good to remember that. None of us are as smart as God. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, it's good to know that snow is a blessing of God, isn't it? But watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. You know the secret of Fundamental Baptist Church growing? A man just asked me that again this last week. Out of the blue, goes to another church in the area. You guys, how are you growing? Number one, I always tell him it's the grace of God, so he doesn't think it's some man here. But it's the Word of God. That is the secret. It is the Word of God. Man, if we just keep dishing it out, we just keep spilling it forth. We just keep teaching it in our classes. God is going to bless. And the promise is, just like the snow and the rain water the earth and brings about all that greenness, the Word of God will never return void. It'll always prosper. It'll always bless in your, that works in your family too. No matter who you are. That works where you live. It'll work in your home. If you get your home filled with the Word of God, don't pick and choose, don't cherry pick. Be faithful. Love God. Love what God loves. And I'll come back to where I started here this morning. Christ cherishes his church. He loves his church. Do you?
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.